when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I hope you hang on. The people that did hang on, I want to thank you so much. You know what? The A-team's checking in. The A-team is checking in. The precious, God, I love them so much. The precious Blood River Radio sisters would come in. You know, people earlier was talking about, I think I said in our prayer, how much I appreciate God gracing me with. He showered grace on me, but allowing me to be a part of Sister Belle Carroll Nancy and a part of Sister Braveheart's life and a part of Grand's life. I'm so blessed that they brought me into their life, that they came into my life. I've been there. We're a great family. I'm not kidding you. I love them so much. And they did such a marvelous job. I just feel the goodness, if you, for lack of better words, the Christian spirit, a vibe. I can feel the goodness, almost like an aura coming off of them. They did such a marvelous job last week. The goodness just poured out of them. I just love them. I couldn't tell you how much I love them. And before I go to that, I'm going to say this one thing, because my voice is shot. That's a gift I got from getting hypothermia last week on those bridges in New York. But I'm just going to say this. I'm going to put my question out there. I didn't think we'd get anybody to call in, because these Judeo-Christians, the only worse coward than a Jew is a Judeo-Christian. The goyim, the Shabbos goyim of the Jews, who comes in, they gladly clean up their vomit when they vomit on the floor. They clean out their outhouses. They shine their boots. They wipe their butt like they did. You know, the ancient, the old royalty, English royalty, they had these grooms of the stool. Sister Nancy brought that up a while back. Back in the 400, 500, 600 years ago, these ancient people, they didn't wipe their own butt, the British royalty. They had the grooms of the stool. It was really, believe it or not, it was considered a great job. They loved that job. That's what our Judeo-Christians are. They're the grooms of the stool, the Shabbos goy for these Jews, and they love it. And the more filthy and disgusting the job is, the more they love it. They get in a roll in that crap and just love it. Oh, they get all over them. Oh, I'm just blessed because these are our chosen people. Well, I'm going to put that out there one more time. I dare you people to call in. I'll write you a check for $50 if you can send me a card proving that you're a member of a Judeo-Christian church, if you'll come on and debate us. I'd like to ask you, and I'm going to shut up, if the Jews were to launch a rocket and go in and napalm St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and napalm the children and machine gun them when they're trying to run out of a burning hospital. Same thing with the Lebanon here. We have two giant children's hospitals here in Memphis, Tennessee. If they were to bomb them and strafe them and splatter her guts and arms and legs and eyes all over, and to do the same thing to the ambulance drivers and medical workers, because after all, and here's their excuse, we found out there's an anti-Semite inside there working for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, so we blew the whole damn thing up and firebombed it to get rid of that anti-Semite. And these stinking goyim children, they're just goyim anyway. They're just pieces of donkey dung. Would you be good with that? Especially if it was one of your kids that got their arms and legs and crap blown all to hell, would you be good with that? Because that's what they're doing. Your precious Jews, the gods that you pray to every day, that's what they're doing to the Palestinians over there right now. With that, I'm going to shut up And I guess since Sister Bell Cow Nancy is the eldest, we'll bring her in, let her take up, because the rest of the show is going to be run by Sister Nancy and Sister Braveheart, and Rand's going to come in as needed. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Okay. Well, you're talking about children being blown up. I just received, I guess it was on YouTube. I've been obsessed with what's going on in Gaza. They showed a young girl, she might have been 6 or 7, with both of her legs blown off, and I'm glad they showed it. I hope this video gets sent around to these people who are so sympathetic to these evil Jews. And back to another issue. Today is Veterans Day, and I would say that Southern men and women should think twice about supporting anything that has to do with Veterans Day. First of all, we've got to look at what they have done to those who were actually American veterans who supported the Confederacy. They have been shunned, mocked, laughed at. Their monuments have been destroyed. Our memorials have been dug up, and they're going to be made into new statues for the beloved blacks who have given us very little in this country. So I would think Southerners really need to rethink this day of so-called celebrating Veterans Day, because the government has no respect for you as a Southern man or woman. They don't care if you, certainly, they have no respect for the people in the South who fought for the Confederacy. In fact, just the opposite. They hate us and our ancestors. And I'll start out. I know Monica's got a lot, but I'll just cover two issues to start with. I'm going to say tar and feather that no good stinking Jew, Antony Blinken. Now, yes, President Erdogan did say that he was very upset. The people of Turkey are very upset with what is going on in Gaza. He even implied that he would send the military in. Unfortunately, with American power and ships and nuclear weapons and threats and arms, there's very little that these Arab countries are really going to be able to do. But what really got me was that Erdogan recently met with that no-good stinking Blinken. And here's the way I see it. Most likely, Blinken gave him a big check, a money check that came from your paycheck, American taxes, to buy him off, as we have done with many, many of the Middle Eastern Arab countries. I may be wrong about this, but that's the way I take it. We certainly have bought off Egypt for many, many decades because we want them to keep the people in Gaza from fleeing into Egypt. And so we have encouraged the Egyptians to not allow the Palestinians actually to escape into Egypt. And then I want to mention four of the heroes, four Republican heroes who voted against the Marjorie Taylor Greene censure of the Palestinian American representative Rashida Tlaib, and one of them is my Kentucky representative Thomas Massey, John Durante, Ken Buck, and Tom McClinton. All four of them voted against the censorship of a Palestinian American refugee who is speaking up against Israel and this horrible ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people. I have contacted Marjorie Taylor Greene's office, and also I have sent my thanks to Representative Rashida Tlaib, and we should do that no matter how we think about her other positions. We may oppose her other positions, but on this position, Rashida Tlaib is absolutely correct, and she needs to be receiving our conciliatory and congratulations for standing up for the Palestinian people. She may be one of the few. We need to blame people who are doing wrong, and we need to brag directly to those congresspeople who do something correct that we think is right. Maybe we don't agree with everything this squad has done, but in my opinion, this lady deserves our recommendation, sincere thanks. And the U.S. switchboard number, I've given it before, it's 202-224-3121. And I will
say that again.
I'll just sign off.
Say that
again.
Number
one more time. Okay, it's 202-224-3121. And I called, of course, to Thomas Massey's office and also to Representative Green's office. You know, we need to blame them or brag to them if they're doing something we think is good, is positive. That's my that's something you can do.
Thank you. You're always the bell cow when it comes to doing action like this. I'd like to make two quick comments and we go to Sister Braveheart. I would last ask all of our Jared Taylor friends and supporters that you keep hanging with him. I would like to ask you, are you still going to swear allegiance to the Jew? Are you still going to say that the Jew is not the problem? He is to be worked with, to get along, like Jared Taylor has said. I won't read his sickening statement that I've read 100,000 times, but here's what it boils down to. Either you separate yourself from Jared Taylor or you separate yourself from the Bombardier. I will not have anything to do with anyone who is friends with that stinking Jared Taylor and his acolytes, his little army that continues to pay allegiance to these damn Jews. The second thing I would like to make a comment with you, Sister Nancy, only 22 of those evil Democrats joined side with the GOP to censor Rashida Tlaib. 22 Democrats, and these are Democrats supposed to be. I'll say one thing for the damn Democrats: it's these they didn't pile on her, and with the GOP that got rid of them. Think about that, you Judeo-Christian bastards. When we come back, we're going to go right back to Sister Braveheart, and I got to shut the hell up. Be right back, folks.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio, man, I sure would like to smell some more of that napalm, but you'll never forget what it smells like. But only I would like to smell it coming over Tel Aviv, coming from that place over yonder. Well, people, with that little kind comment, I'm going to go over to Sister Braveheart and the precious Braveheart sisters. The rest of the hour and the rest of this program is theirs. So take off, Sister Braveheart.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. It's great to be back on. I always look forward to doing this with you and with Nancy and with Ran and all the rest, and Gene when he's there too. And yeah, last week was an interesting program for sure, if people could find that in the archives. Anyway, but I'll just, we do have a lot to talk about today. I want to touch about on all the things that Nancy said so far. And the first of those things was about what you call Veterans Day. We call it Remembrance Day, and that does happen to be today, 11/11. And then, of course, add another 11 in there, because it was 11 in the morning on the 11th of the 11th month. And what we need to do, and I appreciate what you said about the dishonor that has been awarded to all the Confederate soldiers. And I would like to add to this discussion what the origins of this particular day and how it has come to be that our Western world, or at least in Canada, United States, I don't know if they quote unquote celebrate this day as a remembrance day in European countries, I'm not sure. And what about Australia and New Zealand? Maybe they do, because the Commonwealth countries probably are all tied in with that. And but anyway, the origins, it goes back to 1918 on this mm-hmm. day, and it was November 11th, and apparently it was 11 in the morning, that Germany capitulated just all of a sudden. Out of the blue, this was not, it shouldn't have happened. And what did happen there was that there was some treasonous, traitorous folks in there, and they happened to be Jewish, that basically just caused Germany to capitulate. And all those millions of soldiers who had died, it basically was in vain. I mean, it was just unbelievable, traitorous thing. And then, of course, that capitulation, when there was no reason to capitulate, like Germany had not lost any of its own territory up to that point, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it was, what was it, Rosa Luxemburg and this guy Liebknecht, these were Jewish traitors within that basically, and caused the unions also to stop work. I think that's how it went. I don't know the history that clearly. But mm-hmm. that is basically the origins of what this day is all about. So it's actually a very bad day for us. It's a very good day for communism, good day mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the Jews, good day for them. There's one more thing I'd like to say about what, okay, I don't know if you have the custom in the United States, but here everybody wears poppies. They wear a poppy on this day, and they wear a poppy yes. all of November leading up to November 11th. You know, so it's kind of expanded time-wise that way. But I will not wear a poppy ever again. I have occasionally, and it's sort of due to ignorance and you know, that sort of everybody's wearing a poppy. And you think, I always mm-hmm. thought to myself, okay, well, I'll remember those that I want to remember on this day. So I kind of always had something different in my head. But still, the poppy represents bankers' drug wars since hundreds of years, like the opium wars. What does that go back to? I think the 1600s or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, or please jump in. But I'll just say they are laughing at us for celebrating our own destruction by mm-hmm. wearing their opium badge, the red poppy. So chew on that one for a bit. Okay, over to you.
That's a good idea. That's interesting. Well, I think it was interesting that when that you're talking about the end of the First World War, I thought it was really clever that when there was a decisive victory, I'm not sure if it was with reference to France. Yeah, I guess it was reference to France. When Germany won a decisive victory in the Second World War, that they made the losers sign again a treaty in that same rail card where they had signed their treaty yes. in at the end of the First World War. So I thought that was pretty clever, and I liked that idea of what the Germans did. At least they had one up on us, let's say, up yeah. one up on the Allies at least one time.
Anyway. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so that's Remembrance Day or Veterans Day. Do you wear the poppy down there? Is that what people do?
No.
That's
okay,
custom,
so that...
British that is a thing, custom.
It is a custom?
Yes, a copy of it. They wear... You don't see it as much as you see it on thing, but yeah, it's definitely it's the same custom, the poppy. I always wonder why they wear
poppies. I don't remember that in Louisville, or I don't remember it except in England, that they wore the poppy. Now, of course, that goes back to the poppy fields of World War I, and of course, you're connecting it to the Opium War, which are connected to poppies, which is interesting.
Yeah, so that's hundreds of years.
In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce herds amidst the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Now we lie in Flanders fields. I know the rest of the lines, but I won't bore you out with that poem.
Please carry on. That was beautiful. Carry on, Eddie.
See if I can remember the rest. The rest of it says, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high. For if ye break faith with us who die, we shall not rest though we lie in Flanders fields. I forgot how many million men died in Flanders Fields. That poem was written by Lieutenant Colonel Joel McCrae.
Didn't we get cut
He was
off?
An orthopedic surgeon in the First World War, and he was killed. He wrote that during the pause of the artillery shelling, and he was killed like 10 days later by an artillery blast. I used to talk to the precious Dr. Stanley Monteith, who was a retired orthopedic surgeon, and I love that poem so much. It's one of the few I committed to memories, and it's really emotional. Especially if you've ever been connected to the war or anything, it'll really get to you. So many of our people were just wasted for the damn Jews. And
that's right.
You know, when you're like me, you're young and dumb, stupid 18, 19-year-old, and you get drafted, you think, oh, it's for mom and apple pie and all this kind of crap. You know, and what they are, you just can't bother for these endless stinking Jew wars. That I'll shut up and go back
Let's remind people, and we've said this one on this show before, but it doesn't hurt to say it again. I think it was 1859, Rabbi Reichshorn said, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but I'm going to just paraphrase it from my memory, said, "Wars are the Jews' harvest." And, you know, we have already, what is it, like the Christians have killed the Christians already, millions of them, and we are only just beginning. And he goes on, you know, and it's all about how basically we kill each other, and the Jews benefit from this. We make way, we make space for the Jews. And this rabbi in 1859 said, "Wars are the Jews' harvest." So we need to remember that. And they get, you know, brothers killing brothers, cousins killing cousins in these wars, that they call, you know, World War I and World War II, which was like one long 30-year war, and then it's kind of never really stopped. But, you've got Mr. Schmidt going over to kill Herr Schmidt, his cousin, over in Germany. Mm-hmm. So, and what for? You know, the communist traitorous capitulation on November 11th, coming back to that date, this date in 1918, what did that lead to then, that horrendously debilitating Versailles Treaty, which led directly a number of years later to World War II, where, I mean, Germany was just put in such a bad position there that many, 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 many people starved, many committed suicide because it was just so hopeless. And then, of course, the Weimar days came, you know, with a debauchery just like we have now. And I do hear the music, but you know, this is what's going on now with this debauchery.
Well, people will be right back to the Blood River Radio Sisters as soon as we get over this little break here.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. In a recent interview with Univision, former President Trump commented on the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict, expressing the view that the situation will need to unfold naturally.
So you have a war that's going on, and you're probably going to have to let this play out. You're probably going to have to let it play out.
Trump highlighted the challenge posed by longstanding hatred between Israelis and Palestinians, but he asserted that under his administration's firm approach toward Iran, the conflict wouldn't have erupted. Former President George W. Bush also expressing confidence that the Israel-Hamas conflict will ultimately end.
Yeah, the images are grim. And yes, there's violence. But ultimately, love overcomes hate.
Bush made the remarks during his annual bike ride in Texas, organized to support injured veterans. Bush has consistently voiced unwavering support for Israel, emphasizing last week that in his view, one side is guilty and it's not Israel. President Biden is scheduled to hold a meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping in San Francisco next week. The meeting set to take place on the sidelines of a CEO summit during which Xi Jinping is anticipated to address prominent American business executives. Xi will be speaking to business leaders during a period of heightened tension in U.S.-China relations. Additionally, China's increasingly stringent restrictions on Western companies impacting their business operations have led these firms to reassess their investments in China. The possibility of another U.S. government shutdown looms as Congress is required to pass funding legislation by November 17th. Newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson has not yet outlined his strategy for a short-term spending plan to prevent a shutdown. Sacramento is taking a stand against misinformation with a new California law set to go into effect next year. The Democrat-backed legislation requires all K-12 students in school to receive education in media literacy skills. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'll tell you what, it was all worth going in, getting my butt drafted, because I got a free salmon dinner last night and got coffee in the muffin today, so I'll do it again. Anyway, we're going to go right back to our precious Blood River Radio sisters, the most precious sisters on the face of the earth, the guts of the lions, the brains of scholars, because they are scholars. So anyway, Sister Nancy got cut off, and I should have made a note, but I don't remember exactly who was coming up. So we'll bring Sister Nancy up. I'm sure she'll remember. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
You know, I was thinking Rand wanted to say something about Veterans Day, and I would be glad to let him do that if he wants to say something about Veterans Day, I believe.
Yeah, just a couple of thoughts while I was listening to y'all, Miss Nancy, on Veterans Day or Remembrance Day. It seems to me that most Americans this day, and in this case, this weekend, you know, everybody took off yesterday. So it seems to me that it's just another time that Americans look forward to having a day off of work. They break out every Yankee rag that they can find that they got stuffed away somewhere. They break them out. They crank up the Lee Greenwood, and they stuff themselves with pork, and they repeat the same word thing that's been drummed into their head, and that's thank you for your service. Now,
yeah.
With all due respect to those that have so-called served, to me, they serve those themselves. They did not serve Rand Owens in Autauga County or Crenshaw County, Alabama. They served themselves. The last soldier in my mind that served and died for Rand Owens wore gray, and he
yes.
fought for infantry or cavalry from somewhere in the state of Alabama or somewhere in the Confederate Army. No disrespect
right.
to those that went off and served whatsoever. My daddy went to Korea, but that served no interest to me. I mean, people that went into Iraq and got their legs and arms blowed off, that served no interest whatsoever to me or anybody else in Alabama. And to me, a power lineman that goes out and risks his life climbing up a pole to hook wattage back together, something that's invisible that can knock him down off of there and kill him if he makes one little mistake. He does service for Rand Owens. He keeps my mm-hmm. lights on. So I say thank you, Mr. Power Lineman, for your service.
I just want to get that out there.
I can tell you something else real quick while I got the floor for a second. Miss Nancy mentioned those videos that maybe get censored of all the things going around. I can tell y'all, good people, who are seeing those videos, those Arabs and those Muslims all around the world are seeing those videos, and they're going to come together. They're not going to continue to stand for it. And one last thing, Miss Nancy started off about Blinken's trip over, and maybe it was a previous trip over to Turkey, because I had just listened to retired Colonel Douglas MacArthur this morning, where Blinken, I think, was there earlier in the week. And according to Colonel MacArthur, they were no higher-up Turkey officials that was there to greet Blinken at the airport. None. He was.
Oh, that's good news.
That is good.
He said, and he was informed that there would be no press coverage, and the only one that he met with on the next day was the foreign minister. He never met Elderon while he was there. So Colonel MacArthur's point there was that the relationship between Turkey and the United States is falling further and further apart. And one other thing that he mentioned, then I'll get out of the way. He also, while he was over there, he went to Baghdad. And I'm not sure why he went to Baghdad. But the point that Colonel MacArthur made, he wore body armor over there. And if the United States had accomplished anything in Iraq, getting all those young people killed, why would the Secretary of State of the United States have to show up over there and wear body armor?
Did he have it over his head? If he didn't have it over his head, it wouldn't do one bit of good.
One other thing about Turkey. Let's just don't forget about Turkey and Mr. Elderon over there. According to Mr. MacArthur, Turkey has the second, they have the largest army in NATO other than the United States. So they got a big army. They got a big navy. They got a well-equipped air force. And Turks have got 2 million able-bodied men in reserve. Turks can fight, and they're fearsome fighters, too, when you get them rounded
up.
So keep your eye, eye on the Turks. Not so much Iran, but keep your eye on the Turks.
They need to get going because it's past time. I'll just say this, too. When you see somebody like in my case, I was stupid enough to join. I got my sorry butt drafted. When they tell me, oh, thank you for your service, I say, well, thank you. I appreciate you being kind, but don't thank me. Thank the draft board in Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary, because in my day, if you got drafted and you didn't go, I know it happened to a friend of mine. They send the FBI come and get you, and they'll take you either to your unit or they'll take you to Leavenworth if you give them too much trouble. So anyway, back to you.
Here's what I'd like to say, just to respond to Rand, if I may. Just in terms of all these soldiers and going off and fighting and then dying, and yeah, you're right, they didn't serve you nor me, but this is all by way of deception. There's that Israeli motto, by way of deception thou shalt make war. And thou is you. It is not they that fight. They get us to do the fighting for them by way of deception. And that's what is just so enraging, because here our good people go and die and they fight for something that they are deceived what they are fighting about, and then they come back completely broken because they have seen things that they should never have been witness to, and many of them actually do wake up to the fact that they've been fighting a war for nothing, like that this was not for freedom or for our good causes. They start to figure this out, and then they come home and many of them commit suicide, you know. So the whole thing is just so devastating and destructive, and who is behind it all? I mean, people who aren't even in the know about the JP, and I say the JP, not the JQ, because it's no longer a question about the Jews, it's a problem. So even when people are not in the know, they do understand the phrase, oh, these are all bankers' wars. Yeah, the banks fund both sides. It's always the same people funding both sides. Well, just think about it. Who owns the banks? Oh, it just happens to be that group of people that you're not allowed to criticize lest you be called anti-Semitic. Anyway, I do have lots of other things I want to talk about, but I'm going to hand it to Nancy, because I think you had a comment directly just now.
Well, I was going to get off on something. It's a little bit related to what's going on right now in Israel. I want to read a very short letter that was written to Lord Rothschild by Lord Balfour. And because in the beginning, a lot of people think that Israel was created for the victims of the Holocaust. That is really not the case. This Balfour Declaration was written to encourage Americans to get involved in World War I. Now, this is a brief letter. It's, Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you, on behalf of His Majesty's government, the following declaration of sympathy with the Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. Now, here's the important part. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status.
I love that fire, Sister Nancy. Well, we got to go to a quick break, Sister Nancy. I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but we'll be right back, folks, after this break.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, without further delay, we're going to go back to the fiery. We used to say kind old lady, but no, sir. This is the fiery, fire-eating Sister Nancy the Bell Cow. We're going right back to you. Go ahead, fire breather.
Okay, I'll just briefly state that this was addressed to the Foreign Office November the 2nd of 1917, and it was written to Lord Rothschild, probably a Jew, by Lord Balfour, with reference to the Balfour Declaration, which basically was written to satisfied Jewish desires in America, and that because if they could get the Jewish vote in America, then the stupid Americans would fight in the First World War. This is all the steps that were taken, really. But I think the most important part in this letter, and I'll just reread it, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. So that, of course, the Jews would never, they don't, the Jews lie. And of course, what was very was so terrible in 1948 is the Arabs were totally unaware of this doctrine. They were totally unaware of the land mass that had actually been allocated to the Jews, and the Jews could care less. They just usurped any of the land that they could run these native Palestinians off of their own land. So it was the Palestinians and the native people of various religions really had no way to defend themselves except with antique weapons. And they just did not understand in 1948 that there had been this agreement. They didn't understand the landmass that would be given to the Jews, and the Jews could care less. They just took whatever they wanted, and they created something like 600,000 refugees. This, my listeners, are the people who are the descendants in the Gaza Strip today who are being bombed into oblivion, and also the descendants of the people who are now living on the West Bank, isolated and fenced off from the land they actually settled. And I thought this was an interesting study. Someone did a study of the DNA of the native Palestinians versus the DNA of the Khazarian Jews, who are actually the main population of the Jewish occupiers, and the DNA of the Palestinians is much closer to the native who the people you would call Jews, would be the Palestinians. And of course, I told a friend of mine, they're Semitic. She said, Semitic? How can they? I said, of course they're Semitic people. So anyway, that's just another fact that has, it's just another thing that people really, doesn't really matter, because these people are in control at the moment. Let's hope that there is one day. I hope there's a day in the future in which these so-called Israeli occupiers of the Palestinian land will get their revenge will be reaped upon them. Let me tell you, they're creating hundreds and thousands of people who want to get revenge right now. As we are on the radio program, hundreds of innocent people are being killed.
That's true. That's true. One brief comment is that Balfour Declaration you're talking about in the nutshell. We've talked about this several times before. Britain and France had already lost. Britain had already lost. The war was basically over. The Germans had kicked the hell out of them. The Russians had capitulated, and the communists took them over. And it was, the English were getting ready to sign a peace treaty. But the Jews came in. You mentioned this Lord Rothschild dude, Walter Rothschild, I think it was his first name. I forget now, first name. But, yes, they did. He said, here's what we'll do. He's talking to Lord Balfour. And he says, you don't have to give up the war. You can still bring this war out of the graveyard and win it. All you have to do is get the Americans in. And he said, well, there's no way the Americans we're going to get in here. Oh, how are you going to do it? He said, well, leave that to us. And so the Jews got the Americans to come in, just like you point out, and it swung the tide of the war. And we pointed out before, all the backstabbing that went on. But the deal was that before the Jews would agree to get the Americans in the war, the British had to give away land. And I'd like to say, how the hell could they give away land they didn't even own? But anyway, that was the deal. They gave the land to the British mandate of the Palestine. They gave it to the Jews. And before I shut up, that'd be like Red China saying, okay, we're going to give Mississippi and Tennessee and Arkansas. We're going to give that to Guatemala. It's the same damn thing. But anyway, go back to you, Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, I mean, when Balfour said that about, the customs, the religious beliefs, all that stuff about those who are living there now, they'll be let alone, left to their own, they can keep all that. Well, there's that old saying, sorry, I just have to say it again, fish swim, birds fly, Jews lie. So
yes.
They had no intention. They had no intention of letting the people there just continue practicing their own customs and leaving them alone. No, they had the intention right from the get-go to genocide them. And that's what's going on right now. And I mean, there are countless quotes from, Israeli leaders and rabbis who have clearly spelled it out. And if I had those quotes in front of me, I'd read a few, but I've read some of these quotes by them. That's all documented. They would say these things in their meetings and it was documented, like just basically that in a nutshell, that they would get rid of the Palestinians, the people who were living mm-hmm. there. They just get rid of them, kill them, burn them, bulldoze their homes, just get rid of them. It was very clear. That's their intention. So, then when they say, they have to bomb those places, though, whatever they're bombing, if they're being accused of bombing hospitals and this and that, what they say? Well, it's all Hamas's fault because Hamas is putting their installations in there, which is just such a, it's sick, actually. So anyway, that's just my comments.
Sister Braveheart? They also say, we may have covered this on, y'all may have covered it last week. The Jews are also saying, so what? We're bombing hospitals, children's hospitals. We're bombing churches. So what? Y'all, being the Yankees, the British and the Americans, y'all bombed Dresden.
Did they actually say that?
They actually said that. They said, y'all did Dresden. You burnt Dresden to the ground. So what? So you can't complain about what we're doing. They said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah. Wow, so they're actually admitting about Dresden now, you know. But
and they're right. They're absolutely right. That's what the Allies did. So the so-called Allies can't say, oh, you're, you know, look how pure we are. No, the Allies.
But again, who was behind all that? Who was behind
the
all
same
that?
Old Jew? It's always exactly. Jews but, all the time.
You know, we got onto the subject, like, when you were about to read that letter from Lord Balfour to Rothschild, and yes, of course, Rothschild's a Jew, you had said, you know, a lot of people think that the existence of Israel is because of the Holocaust, and that's sort of the general idea that people have, that, okay, Israel exists because of the Holocaust. So this is a good segue into something I wanted to talk about. Because here in Canada, in several jurisdictions, there is already this, you know, mandatory Holocaust education in the schools. And recently, the Ontario, Doug Ford, he said that they're going to expand this education, this Holocaust education in the schools to teach also about, you know, current sort of results and consequences of the rising anti-Semitism, blah, 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 all this stuff. Plus the government is giving a whole pile of money to Jewish organizations and groups so that they can do their thing to, well, they say to teach us, but really it's to lie to us. Now, I want to just point something out here. This is really, really important, because what you have is the backdrop of the recently added section to the Canadian Criminal Code, which now makes it a crime to question that hallowed 6 million number that were, you know, put into the gas chambers in Germany, right? This, you, if you question that, or if you have something else to say about it, this is now a criminal offense. Okay, so couple that with this mandatory Holocaust education or miseducation. So what you are doing in effect is you are force feeding lies onto the children. You are forcing lies onto the children. This is no longer even an option. You are making it mandatory. You are forcing it by law. You are criminalizing anybody who does not go along with this. So you are force feeding lies into the children's heads. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So that's what's going on, folks. I mean, you know, they've had this going on for a long time, but it just kind of hit me in broadside when I thought about this the last few days to put these two things together. This criminalization of, you know, what they call Holocaust denial. Hard to deny something that never happened, but anyway, that's kind of the convoluted language we have for these mm-hmm. things, just like everything gets turned inside out and upside down. But anyway, that's what they're saying. Okay, so you go, it's criminalized, you know, that you can't do this. And in many countries, it's a crime, right? There's people in jail. My brother's in jail right now. And by the way, in the next hour, I do want to talk about him. But just for now, just sticking to this subject. And then, you know, you have this mandated. That means you cannot opt out. It's like you can opt out of a lot of other courses when you're at the high school level, for instance. High school students, they don't have to take all the courses. They don't have to take mathematics anymore if they don't feel like it or whatever. Like, they just need a certain number of credits. Maybe they need a certain number of basic things, but then they can opt out. You know, a few years ago, I came to the defense of that high school principal in Florida. I don't know if you all remember that story, but it made news here. Like, I was made an article in the Globe and Mail here, page 5, about, oh, because it was a notorious Holocaust denier from Canada is coming to the defense of this high school principal. And I'll tell you why he was fired. He was fired because he let students opt out of Holocaust studies in his school where he was the principal of. Now, he wasn't even saying it happened or it didn't happen.
I remember
he
that.
Just let them opt out of taking the course, and he got fired. Anyway, that led to a whole series of, yeah, it was a fury of events. And I hear the music.
Folks,
so
We'll got to transfer into the third hour. Time's really going by fast. People, hang on. We'll come back to the third hour. We'll still have the precious Blood River Radio sisters on running the show. Be right back, folks.